on Racing HQ. Racing HQ.
Green lights on and they are racing.
Here's On The Pace.
Tiger Tara, who's well out in front with Todd McCarthy. It's Tiger Tara who takes the tab in a Dominion 2018 and in style.
And it is 27 to 11. Let's see what's happening on the pace. The man who knows is Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Good morning, Cozzy. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. Obviously, the Carnival of Miracles is well and truly underway. We had the official launch last Thursday. We had a breakfast. Brittany Graham and myself were out there and emceeing the function, and all the big players were out there. We caught up with Tim Butt. We also spoke with Mark Purden. Shane and Lauren Tritton were out there. It was a great morning. And, of course, since then, we've had the running of the Newcastle Mile. Well, it all started really well the evening. We had the first five races, and then I don't know why, and it was obviously to have a band that was there, but they decided to have an hour break, the club, between the fifth and the sixth races, which was a little unfortunate. And as a result, that in that hour break, they were hit by a thunderstorm. Not only did they get hit by a huge downpour of rain, but they got hit by lightning. The track was waterlogged by the time they ran the Newcastle Mile. As a result, there were two gallopers, Major Dan McGregor. If they had gone in their normal time slot, if they'd only gone the half an hour, the track would have been fine. But that's something that the club and Harness Racing New South Wales can sit down and look at next year. I don't know, obviously if you've got a huge act, Ronan Keating, something like that, yeah, sure, have an hour break, get the crowd there. If someone's going to sing covers, I don't know why you want to put on an hour break, but anyway, that's just my opinion. Race, obviously, they didn't run the time they were hoping. They were hoping that they would break the track record, go a 1:51 and a piece. They didn't do that. They went a lot slower. They went a very fast third quarter. But the winner of the race was Yaya's Hotspot. He books himself a spot in the Miracle Mile. He becomes the first horse into the Miracle Mile, the $1 million Miracle Mile for 2019. I was out at Shane and Lauren Stables yesterday doing a story for In The Gig. You'll see that next Tuesday night on In The Gig. We'll learn more about Yaya's Hotspot. Hard to believe it was his first Group 1 win. He's won more than $500,000 in prize money. He's been placed in some very big races like the Hunter Cup. He was placed in a Victoria Derby, placed in a Queensland Derby, but never won a Group 1, so he finally cracked it for his first Group 1. It was also Lockie Manzelman's first Group 1 win as well, and we'll catch up with Lockie Manzelman on the show. Now, Major Dan, it was his second gallop in three runs at the start of a race. The stewards took into account the state of the track and basically put a last chance on him as a result of that. They also put a warning against McGregor galloping at the start, but no further action was taken. I think that Kevin Pizzuto and Connections were pretty lucky as a result of that. We'll speak with Chris Geary on the show this morning and have a chat to him. Now, not only does he have Major Dan to drive throughout the Carnival of Miracles, he's also got a drive in the Chariots of Fire on Saturday night. And it's, one of the roughies in the race, but I think a very important horse because he does have very good gate speed, the Black Prince. And for mine, there's not too much gate speed in the race outside Pickard. So I do think the Black Prince can play a very important role. And there was a big announcement yesterday on social media in regards to Chris Geary, and we'll talk about that in just a moment with Chris, in regards to becoming the stable foreman for the Tim Butt stable. So we'll talk to Chris about that. We're also going to catch up with Daniel Cordina this morning on the show. Anthony McDonald is coming out from America to have a chat about ownership. And he has done an amazing job over there in North America in terms of getting new people into the sport. And with all of the APG sales, we've seen the sales in Brisbane and Melbourne, but with the Sydney sales still to come, he's got a stable of 150 horses in work. But he has been to New Zealand in the last 12 months. They had a couple of seminars over there, and his way of getting people into the sport has been radical. And the New South Wales Owners Association are going to bring him out for a couple of seminars, I think three seminars, in fact. We'll talk to Daniel Cordina this morning about that. We'll try and get Anthony on when he's out here. We'll definitely do something with him on In the Gig. We'll have a chat to him about his thoughts on how we can get new people into the sport, people from outside the sport into the game. We'll have a chat to Daniel this morning. I want to speak with Luke McCarthy. Two guys rose to the top on Saturday night at Menangle, and they're names that we've known for years. Luke McCarthy was one. Blake Fitzpatrick was the other. I know Blake's got an appeal against a suspension later this week, so he's going to try and be driving in the Chariots of Fire on Saturday night, but that will come down to a hearing, so good luck to Blake against that. But Blake and Luke on fire, so we'll hear from Luke and Lockie Manzelman. They're my four guests this morning, so make sure you stick around for the next half hour. As mentioned, Chris Geary, he got a big promotion yesterday. Saw it on social media. Well done to Chris. He's now the stable foreman for the Tim Butt Stable. And, of course, some very, very nice horses in that stable headed up by Myfield Marshall. Chris Geary's joining me on the show. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Hazy.
Mate, congratulations on the news. Obviously, a nice stable to get that promotion and to now be the stable foreman for Tim Butt. So, obviously, nice feather in your cap, and you're going to take on some more responsibility for the team.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's a lot of nice horses there, and it makes going to work every day a hell of a lot easier, that's for sure. And hopefully you can just do the job that I've been given to do, and hopefully things keep rolling on.
And obviously, in terms of drives, you'll be sharing the drives with Anthony Obviously, that going forward will mean more big drives because Tim's got a number of nice horses that will be aimed towards the big races.
Yeah, definitely. It's also good to have Ant around the place and, just get an insight onto how he looks at races and that as well. So I think all those things are probably, got to work in your favour somewhere. And obviously, Ant's driven in every single, Grand Circuit race across the country, so he's had plenty of experience, and just having his knowledge and that around is a big help as well.
Let's talk about the Chariots of Fire first up. I do think the Black Prince can play a very important role in the race because of his gate speed, and we saw that in the Hondo Grattan. He had that early speed that could get him across most of the field, and then he was able to sit on Pickard. I know that basically he doesn't have the draw to, well, he's drawn outside Pickard, but I still think that he may still be able to get in underneath Pickard at the start, and everyone's saying that Chase Auckland could be behind the leader, but Chase Auckland, not a brilliant horse at the start. What are your thoughts from the draw, considering that if Royal Gamble doesn't get a start, you've drawn barrier four?
Yeah, I was quite happy with the draw, obviously. It would have been ideal to draw, one or two in a race like that. Still drawing close to the inside, and like you said, he has got that really good gate speed. And, I think the last couple of weeks we've just sort of tried to chance our arm, and we've sort of looked after him for a fair while now and drove him a bit conservatively and just tried to really look after him. But I think the last few weeks it's sort of been a bit make or break, and time for him to either stand up and do something, or he probably wasn't going to measure up with him. So like you said, the last couple of weeks he's done the work and shown he's got the gate speed to put himself into these sorts of races. So I'm sure on Sunday night, like you said, it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens at the start there. But we know we've got the early speed to put ourselves in a spot if need to be.
Ideally for you, surely the spot for you would be behind Pickard.
Yeah, well, like you said, that'd probably be the perfect sort of trip. But in saying that, there's probably a little bit of speed out wide too. I think one that's probably forgotten is Ignatius. I think as quick as the Black Prince is off the gate, he held me quite comfortably in a Breeders' Crown heat going back 12 months ago. So he's also very fast. And I think if Jimmy sort of felt the need that he had to use him early, I think he's one that could throw a bit of a spanner in the works as well.
Mate, you mentioned Roy and the fact that the gloves have come off with him the last 2 weeks, and that win two starts ago, he showed that when he was liberated, he can run time and he can be competitive and really mix it with these top horses when he's given the chance to show what he can do.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We've always known he's had the ability there, and
just might have lost him. You still there, Chris? You still there, mate?
Yeah, we're there.
Got him, yep.
Yeah, like I said, the probably just the fact that he has got that such high speed that we sort of just tried to drive him for that, especially in a few of the bigger races. But like I said, it's probably come a time now where he, he's gotten a little bit stronger, we think, and being able to use him at the start and put him into the race and just try and put himself in a winning spot, really, that it was time for him to stand up and do it. So, like I said, I've been really pleased with his last few runs and being able to do it at both ends as well, which has been really pleasing.
A lot of people thought Major Dan would be the first horse into the Miracle Mile. He galloped on Friday night at Newcastle. He galloped 3 runs ago now at Menangle. Is it a problem that he's got, or do you just put it down to the track at Newcastle on Friday night?
He definitely has had a tendency to do it in the past. He is quite a touchy big horse, and I think that's the risk that, him starting so short all the time that people take with him, knowing that he can do that from time to time. But I think first up, he was just a bit fresh and well and sort of never even made it to the gate that night, come out of the circle cantering, where the other night he actually went away for 50 or 70 metres, and I think it was just the track and a bit of the spray coming up off the track and off the other runners that just sort of, put him off. And he, like I said, he's a funny sort of horse to drive, and it doesn't take a hell of a lot to upset him. So, it was probably mainly the track and just, the surface and a bit of the surface water around that probably upset him the other night. So, we know going forward that, when he gets back to Menangle, he's more suited to the start and the mobile rolls a little bit quicker out there. So he can be up and cruising and rolling. So he's definitely more comfortable at Menangle. But saying that, going forward, there's probably a couple little issues there that we can look to amend and hopefully have him roll it.
Is he the fastest horse off the gate in New South Wales?
I'd like to say yes, but he's probably his first 50 metres isn't overly quick. Like I said, he's got a few tricks, and you just really got to make sure that he's balanced and comfortable before you let him go. But I think after that, he's got such explosive speed that he could very well be. I mean, I think one night there, he and Field Marshal went out in 24 and changed, so which is pretty unheard of. But yeah, he is incredibly fast out the gate. Yeah.
And what about other drives you've got coming up in the feature races? I assume you'll drive Miss Streisand in the Oaks.
She's the top filly, Hazy. She, I thought her run in the race was probably second to none in the race. Having come from last and wide in a really quick time, I think she might have been the quickest last half of the race off the track as well. So, she's a top quality filly, and really looking forward to getting her over the longer trip too. I think it really suits her, and she's got a hell of a lot of bottom to her too. She could actually be probably a little bit tougher than she is quick, surprisingly. So she's a really exciting filly, and really looking forward to seeing how she measures up with them through the Oaks.
All right, mate. Well, mate, very important time for you. You're obviously a young guy. The promotion at Tim Butt Stables will do you the world of good, and I wish you all the best of luck going forward.
All right, thanks very much, Avery.
There he is, Chris Geary, young guy who's obviously driving exceptionally well at the moment. I do think the Black Prince can play an important role. I was having a chat to a couple of drivers and trainers last night, and they all think that Chase Auckland is a lock to hold the spot behind Pickard on Saturday night in the Chariots of Fire. Obviously, Todd McCarthy, who will drive Pickard, he ideally, I don't think he would want Chase Auckland stalking him. So it'll be interesting to see whether if they come out guns a-blazing and Black Prince can get there. I would think that Todd would rather have a horse like the Black Prince on his back than Chase Auckland. So it'll be very, very interesting what happens in the early stages. Look, back last year, I know that the seminars that were held in New Zealand when they had Anthony McDonald out were really, really successful. They were well attended by all sectors of the industry. And they even had him at the annual Harness Racing New Zealand conference in Auckland in front of Kindred Bodies and Club delegates. And basically, Anthony talks about having basically small shares available in harness horses. We're not talking about having 10 people in horses. We're talking about having 100 and thousands of people in horses and making horse ownership affordable for everyone, not just making it affordable for a few people in the industry. And that is why the New South Wales Owners Association have approached Anthony McDonald to get him out here around sales time to show what we can do to get more owners into the sport. Daniel Cordina from the Owners Association is joining us to have a chat about Anthony arriving in Australia in the coming weeks and the free seminars that are coming up. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Mate, really well. This is exciting because Anthony has been such a big success in getting more people into the sport, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Look, I've had a couple of meetings with Anthony while he was in New Zealand, and he is so out there and trying to put his point across, and he's just a breath of fresh air for the industry. And I spoke to my fellow board members at the Owners Association, and we discussed about bringing him out, and also. Me being on the board at Menangle, I spoke to our board and we agreed that in association with the APG, we'll bring him out at this time. So it's a lull in their season over there. It was a no-brainer to bring him out, and we thought, you know, what a good opportunity to get this rolling.
He's been selling shares as small as 1% in horses, low buy-in price, flat fee each month for training that has seen their number of owners grow from zero to 544 in just 3 years. It's amazing what he's been able to do, and it hasn't been hard. It hasn't been a hard thing for Anthony to do, and it's possible. It's a simple formula that trainers out here could follow. And easily copy that we could see happen here, and therefore we could easily have more owners in the game here in Australia. So not only is it a chance for these seminars for business people to go to and see Anthony's ideas, but it's a chance for trainers in the sport to go along and hear a guy speak passionately about how to increase their owner base.
Yeah, well, that's right, Greg. Well, in one of those meetings, I had a good, while he was in New Zealand, I had a good hour conversation with him, and he was telling me a bit of the history about how what he did. He was on the cusp of going broke, and he thought, well, the industry's not going well. Well, I'm not going well. I've got to make a decision. And his decision was that, you know, start this stable.com. Which is his company, the syndication company. He started with a few horses. Now he has got thousands of people in seven countries around the world, and it was just through one word that it all boils down to, which is communication. Communication is the biggest thing that this industry needs, communication with the owners and the trainers, and especially from the trainers, which is sometimes is very, very not there, you know. So, you know, that's where he comes from. He's just a breath of fresh air, and I think it'll be worthwhile for all trainers, young and old, to go out there, listen to what the guy has got to say, and then take on board, and then, you know, let it all begin, you know. So
where are the seminars going to be held when he's here?
Well, we're going to have one at Menangle on the Monday. I just haven't got the dates in front of me. On the Monday, he arrives on the Saturday for he's going to be at Menangle on Saturday night for the sprints.
Mm-hmm.
Then the following Monday, he'll have a seminar at Menangle.
Yep.
Tuesday, we're going up to Bathurst. And then on Thursday, we're going up to Newcastle.
Okay, so Sprints Night will be...
He'll be just a meet and greet.
Yep.
at Menangle. He'll be there He'll be at the Yelling Parade on the Friday. He'll be talking. Apparently, they've got a break in the proceedings, and John Taft's going to interview him to the people that's there. And then he'll be there Miracle Mile Day, and he'll also be there at the sale on Sunday.
All right. So he's going to be at Menangle. He'll be at Bathurst and Newcastle.
Yeah, and we're trying to get him. We're just trying to get all the paperwork done at the moment as we speak to try and get him a few drives around the place. So while he's here, give him a taste of what give him the taste of Australian racing.
All right, Daniel. Well, mate, it's very exciting that he's coming out here. Those seminars are free too, aren't they?
Oh, they're free. All welcome. They're free to everybody. You know, whether you're a non-racing person or a trainer, driver, owner. We're even trying to get some of these country clubs to come to the Bathurst one especially because, you know, we had some word that some of these clubs, country clubs, would like to start syndications, but they didn't know how to or didn't know what to do. So, you know, we're just trying to encourage everybody to come so that way they can hear what Anthony has to say, and then hopefully, you know, from there on we can just start the process rolling, because, you know, we're very conscious in the Owners Association that you don't have owners, you don't have in industry, and unfortunately a lot of the owners have gone over the past few years, and the trainers are owning the horses at the moment, which is causing a double effect in as far as, you know, you can't make money while you're training your own horse type of thing. So he doesn't sell the horse as a profit venture. He sells the horse as an experience, and I think that's the key to the whole thing. Experience the joy of having a horse, everything that goes with it, and then whatever happens after that is what you make out of it.
For sure and certain. So it's Monday the 25th at Menangle, starts at 7 o'clock. Tuesday the 26th of February at Bathurst starts at 7. And Thursday the 28th of Feb at Newcastle at 7 o'clock. Daniel, thanks for that. Yep. And we'll catch up with Anthony when he gets out here.
No worries. Thanks for that, Greg.
No problems at all. There is Daniel Cordina from the Owners Association with Anthony McDonald coming out to talk about how to get owners involved in the sport. Luke McCarthy's going to join us now, and he was one of the stars out there at Menangle on Saturday night. Picked up a couple of winners. He also qualified one for Mick Stanley for the Chariots of Fire this weekend, and he's going to drive one for the All-Stars in the Chariots this weekend. Luke, everything went well on Saturday night?
Yeah, good morning, Hazy. Had a good night, thanks.
Mate, Cash and Flo, back into winning form. You must have been happy with his performance.
Yeah, he went really good. He's, you know, his form has been quite good up until Christmas, and he had a bit of a freshen up, and that was his first run back from a spell, and like a light freshen up, and he came out and went super.
What's the plans with him? Will he head towards the sprints? Will is that the target for him?
Yeah, he will go around in the sprints next week.
He made a couple of runs in the race, so despite having the little freshen up, he's obviously pretty close to the mark.
Yeah, he trialled really good. A couple of weeks ago, he was pretty sharp in the trial. Again, you know, with some good horses in the trial, Ignatius and a couple of others. So, you know, he's a lovely horse, and if he gets the right draw in their races, I'm sure he can run a good race.
Admiral Bronski was also very good. It was a case of him just drawing an alley. He'd drawn poorly the week before, and he came up with that good alley on Saturday night, and he did look very hard to beat.
Yeah, he appreciated the class drop, and he's run the week before. He hit the line super, and you know, just once he came up with a good draw, he did look hard to beat on paper, and he came out and ran a good race.
Mate, what did you make of Rack 'em Up Tiger Bite? You drove him for Mick Stanley. He had the good draw. Ignatius was obviously very impressive, as too was Chase Auckland, but Rack 'em Up Tiger Pie wasn't far away. He was only beaten a metre and a half, and from that good draw, he was able to stick with them after they ran a brutal last half.
Yeah, for sure. He raced really good. He had a good trip in behind the leader, but he still pulled half a length off Chase Auckland and Ignatius in the straight in that quick half. So, you know, I think Ian Michael, really happy with him, and I'm sure he'll run a good race again this week.
You've obviously you go from one horse in the Chariots qualifier to another horse in the final, in the Chariots final, and this time you're going to be driving Ashley Locas, and the way he's been racing, he's a nice horse. Obviously, he's got that poor draw. He's drawn barrier 10 with the emergencies out, but he's a nice horse to be jumping on in the final.
Oh, for sure, Hayes. He's been really impressive since he's come across, and his form in New Zealand was good before he came. Just would have been nice to draw five or six, even just so you're not going to have to settle totally last, but he has got good speed, as you've seen when he won his first start at Menangle. Just hopefully they do go really hard early. Will that be the only way it gives him a chance?
And what about Little Rascal in the Newcastle Mile? What did you make of his performance?
Well, he's just a lovely, honest horse. He had a good trip from the good draw, and he went down by a nose, but obviously, he's not up to that and sort of better class horses, but he rarely runs a bad race, and he'll just keep making money racing at Menangle.
So will he go to the sprints, or will you duck those and maybe look at the Bohemian Crystal? What's the plans?
Oh, he seems to be a bit more hazy, so Ian Dobson's keen for him to have a crack at the sprints and see how he goes.
All right. Well, mate, congratulations on Saturday night with the driving double, and best of luck on Saturday night in the Chariot.
Thanks, Hazy.
There he is, Luke McCarthy. So a couple of wins for him, and he drove one for Mick Stanley on Saturday night in the Chariot qualifier, but now he drives one for the All-Stars on Saturday night. They had the three qualify. They had Ashley Locas, they had Chase Auckland. All you need is faith. Ashley Locas, who would have, obviously, along with Chase Auckland, probably would have been the two picks from the stable, and then all of a sudden, Ashley Locas comes up with barrier number 12. He'll come into 10 with the two emergencies coming out, but Luke gets the drive after he draws the car park. So Mark's opted to stay with All You Need Is Faith. We'll have a chat now with Lockie Manselman. Good story here. Young kid makes the trip down from Queensland. He links up with Shane and Lauren Tritton. Hadn't driven a Group 1 before he arrives. Shane and Lauren have given him three opportunities. He drives in three Group 1 races, and he finally picks up his first one when he drives Yaya's Hotspot on Friday night in the Newcastle Mile, and he salutes at $81. And I don't think it'll be a race he'll ever forget. Good morning, Lockie. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Mate, really well. Has it all sunk in that you're now a Group 1 winning driver?
Yeah, it's all sort of settled in now.
Mate, take us through the race. Did you think you were a winning chance at the top of the straight?
Before the race, Shane said if, you get a good spot, you're definitely, a top three hope. And at the top of the straight, I thought I was easily going to run third, and then halfway down I thought I might run second, then on the line I did think I won, but I wasn't sure.
So you had to wait until you were in the back straight and you heard that your number had been put up as the winning number?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Is he a horse that you do a lot with in the stables, or is he a horse that you don't get a chance to do a lot with?
He's sort of just a horse around the stables that everyone sort of does everything with. He's just one of those horses that's easy to work with.
Yep. And what about the decision to come to Sydney? Was that a tough one? You're only a young bloke. Was it hard to move out of Queensland and come down to New South Wales?
Yeah, it was, but there's a lot more opportunities down here to get into the bigger races and all those sort of things. There's not a lot up in Queensland for that.
Yep.
And the opportunity with Shane and Lauren was way too good to pass up.
And what about you yourself? Do you get nervous before big races? Obviously, your third drive in a Group 1, but when you had your first drive in a Group 1, did you get a few nerves, or do you handle it pretty comfortably?
It is a bit nervy, but you just got to treat it like a normal race. Otherwise, you do just worry yourself out of it.
And has there been any talk between Lauren and Shane and yourself? If there's only one from the stable that qualifies now, does Lauren jump straight back in the seat, or has there been any talk what happens going forward? Will Lauren be driving Yaya's Hotspot in the Miracle Mile?
There hasn't really been a lot of talk, but it's one of those races you sort of just dream to drive in. If I got the chance, I'd be really happy, but I don't expect it. Lauren and Shane, they work very hard, and that's the sort of race they work for, so yeah.
Well, I counted yesterday, there's been 18 or 19 horses drive drive the horse since it's arrived at Shane and Lauren's. And Shane was telling me yesterday there's only been three or four drivers that have been able to win on him out of those 19. And obviously you're one of them. And that was his first Group 1 at his 13th attempt at Group 1 level. And obviously your first Group 1 as well. So it's one that connections are never going to forget, mate. Congratulations with the win and well done. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
There he is, Lockie Manselman. Young driver going places, doing a fantastic job. Cozzy, big in the gig coming up tonight. Obviously, we'll review what happened at the Newcastle meeting on Friday night. We'll also have a look at that that nasty fall in the South Australian Derby. Danny Hill, broken leg and all. She still managed to crawl with the broken leg and throw herself over the top of her horse to calm it down. When it was covered in all its gear and there were fallen horses all around it, still managed to somehow will herself with a broken leg to do that. We'll have a full report on her. She reckons she'll be back in the gig within 8 weeks. And we'll also have a report on Paul Cavallaro, the other driver who had some pretty serious injuries out of that fall as well. So that'll all come up tonight, Sky Racing 2 from 6.
Good on you, Greg. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, mate.
Greg Hayes, and he's there on the pace. It's 4 past 11, Sky Sports Radio. Let's update the latest news and sport now with John O'Farr.